And welcome to Talk of the Rock. I am your host for this week, Jared Griffin, and my favorite part about summertime is reading, is going to the library and getting books during the school year from like September to April. I'm working, doing plays, all sorts of other stuff. And then like in those 8 or 9 months, I'm like accruing all of these books. And then I was just telling Brian Himmelblum, who is in the studio with us, that my official summer starts during the Crab Fest KPLA book sale. That's like the first day of summer for me, and then I just read. It seems like almost all summer long. So just to help me, I guess, get over my book thing that I have over for this summer, we have guests from the library, from the Kodiak City Library and from the Kodiak Public Library, no,
Association.
Association. That's it. Thank you very much. In the studio. So what we're going to do is there's a lot of us in the room, so we're just gonna go around the room, introduce yourself, tell us what you do and how you're associated with the library, and if you are currently reading something, tell us what is it that you are currently reading. So we'll start over here on my left with Lori.
Good afternoon. I'm Lori Madsen. I'm the director of the Kodiak Public Library. Very proud to be the director of this wonderful establishment. And I just finished Incredibly Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And this morning I started another one, and I'll have to remember what it is.
Hi, I'm Bailey Berry. I am the Access Services Specialist at Kodiak Public Library, and I just finished reading the Inheritance Games series. It's a mystery YA series.
And I'm Kate Hill. I'm the Services Specialist here at the library, and I am currently reading Hidden Figures.
And I'm Brian Himmelblum. I'm a retired University of Alaska Fairbanks faculty member. Used to work at the Fish Tech Center. And I'm currently reading the award winner, David Sedaris's Happy Go Lucky.
Oh, okay.
And he was here in town just a year ago.
Yeah. Did you have the book by then? Did you get it signed?
No, I got it the other day when I checked it out from the
Oh, okay.
library.
Yes,
How about
good.
I just finished two books. So one, I just finished Stephen King's Fairy Tale that I checked out from the library and had, I think, 3 months longer than I should have had it. So I apologize. which was great, which is a great one. And then a new book called The God of Endings by Jacqueline Holland. And it's a vampire story, and it's really good. It's kind of epic, and I don't really read vampire books, but that one was great. So, welcome everyone. Thank you for sharing your readings, recent readings with us. So let's just start off with the library. Well, first, actually, let's take that back. So we have staff from the library here, and we also have Brian Himmelblum, who's the president.
I was chair and vice chair, and now I'm just a regular board
Regular
member.
board. So, talk to us first. What is the relationship between the library and the KPLA?
I guess I'll take a shot at that. Well, the KPLA can be thought of as a Friends of the Kodiak Public Library. We are a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization, so we're able to provide funding to the library, and our mission is to support their mission. Programs, facilities, and collections of the Kodiak Public Library through advocacy, fundraising, which you were just indicating with the Crab Fest book sale, and public outreach. And we're doing a lot of that right now by having little free libraries. We can talk about that later.
Free libraries.
And we're not employees of the city of Kodiak. We are an all-volunteer organization. And fun fact, we were established in 1953. Like the second oldest nonprofit after, people have to guess who the first.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What a trivia question that would be for a trivia night.
Oh, I'll give it away. It's KEA.
Oh,
KEA started in
okay.
1940, I believe.
Okay. All right. And Lori, what's going on at the library? It's summertime,
Well,
so.
it's summertime, and of course, we have a big focus on summer reading. We don't want people to avoid that slump where they stop reading, kids especially. The focus this summer is called Find Your Voice, and we have a lot of activities going on around that theme. And I've asked my staff members who are here today to explain some of the activities that we have going on, because you may have heard the PSAs that we read here at the station, but you may not know a lot about them. So I'm hoping that my staff will share that with you.
Sure. Well, I'll jump in right now. We have a lot of wonderful programs here at the library. The first being our summer reading challenge that started on June 1st and goes to September 1st. And it's where children can log their minutes of reading throughout the summer. In the end, find a prize, get a prize. Nextly, we have a chess club that meets Thursdays, June 1st, 15th, and 29th from 3 to 5. We also have Lapsit story times on Fridays from 10:30. From 10:30 on. We also have preschool story times from Thursday at 10:30. We also have a Lego club Wednesdays at 3:30 to 4:30. We have a story stroll. That's a wonderful program where children can walk around the library and read books that are on podiums outside, and they can do that any time of the day. We also have a Crafternoon program, and that's for all age groups at 1 o'clock, and then for 11-plus-year-olds at 3 o'clock, and that's July 8th and August 12th. We have some fun things planned for that. We also have a campfire story time. We have some interactive movies coming up. We just recently did The Little Mermaid.
Yes, I want to ask about that, because I remember I read that PSA last week, and then I think when I was reading the PSA, I was like, what is this? Is this like sing-along?
Sing-along, dance-along, act-along. We have some cues throughout the movie where the kids get to do actions, so it's a lot of fun. And then lastly, we have our film club, and we also have a Cards of Kindness program where children get to write cards to support chronically ill children.
And Bailey wants to tell us about the escape room. I'd like to hear about that. You may have heard about it.
Yes.
Yes, so this is the library's fourth escape room that we're offering. This one's part of our summer reading, and it is themed around a mermaid who has lost her voice. Might sound familiar. and needs your help finding a legendary black pearl. So basically what this escape room is you're in one of the library study rooms that's been dressed up, and there's a bunch of random objects and locked boxes around you. And you have to use kind of deductive reasoning and figure out how these objects fit together and how to unlock the locks and find that legendary black pearl that's somewhere in the room.
And all of these activities go towards the summer reading challenge. If kids or adults as well, they can mark it down as part of the activities that are required to complete the challenge. At the end of the summer, we're looking forward. Oh, and I didn't mention one other thing. Another thing that's happening is our songwriting workshop with Ellamy Tiller. She got sick last time, and now she's off on a trip, but we'll have it in July and August. You don't have to be a great singer like she is, but it's just a chance for you to share your story in song, and we'll have a keyboard there, and looking forward to that happening. But she's going to join us at the end of the summer for our summer reading celebration. We had one last year out on the lawn. We served food, and KPLA came and helped serve, and we had a great time with games and fun just to celebrate all the hard work everybody's done. Do you remember what somebody read the most minutes last summer, Bailey? It was, I don't know.
Oh, it was an incredible
40,000. I mean, a ton of people are doing a lot of reading, and it's great.
Yeah.
And I always love to hear about what they're reading and what they like and maybe what we should get.
So this is a catalog of events, not just in the summer, but for a year long. I can remember growing up the 80s, I just dated myself, and the library was a place you went and you got a book and then you went back home. So what has kind of propelled this change in libraries becoming more of a place for community events and gathering? In addition to, do you still have the stacks?
I think the idea that the library is a storehouse has gone away. You know, we aren't just holding on to the books. We're sharing resources, and we're encouraging inclusion from the community, people to come and enjoy a variety of activities. And so it's a place to go. You know, we 4 times a month, we have city council meetings in the library, and we also have other meetings. And people see it as a place where they can share things and do things. There's a beading workshop going on this week from a community group. And it's no longer just, you know, we're not trying to hold on to things. We're trying to share our resources amongst the community. And it's great to see, of course, in the lovely, lovely architecture that was spurred by Kodiak Public Library Association. The library wouldn't be built the way it is without all that input back in the late 2012, I guess, was when it finished. But, I mean, the work started in 2008 by some very community-minded people, and it's a beautiful facility. I just can't – every day going to work is just a pleasure.
Kate, you're relatively new.
I am, yes.
So what brought you to the library?
Well, originally I had been working over at the Aleutic Museum, but I missed, you know, interacting with children, and, you know, I love being a storyteller, so it seemed like a perfect fit for me to move right on over.
So how do you see that connection between bringing those young, in education it's pre-fluent, not pre-literate, but pre-fluent kids. I mean, what is it that, what do you see as that connection with them in the library?
Well, you know, I think part of the library's job is to share resources, like Lori was mentioning earlier. So I'm excited to share those resources with the new children and to help, you know, build their literacy skills as they come in.
It's really great to see when the kids come in. The first thing they go for is that little blue round tunnel, you know.
Every time.
I wish I could get in there. But, I mean, they're very happy to be there. And, of course, parents love the space. And there's lots going on.
Mm-hmm. My son is 8 years old, and that's the very – I mean, it's a beeline. Actually, it's a beeline to the bathroom first and then and then over to the tunnel. It's a great space. We did the lap sit story time. When he was, you know, 1, 2, 3 mm-hmm. years old. It's nice to see that that's still going. And Bailey, you're new, but also not new, but you've brought a couple of really cool things, the escape room and the fan com.
Yeah, so I've been at the library for about a year and a half. Like I said, this is our fourth escape room that we've ran. One was all volunteer made, so that was fantastic.
It was really hard.
It's extremely, yes, it's very difficult.
My puzzles tend to be a little easier. His were really cool. But that was great that a community member wanted to get involved and make one. And then this past March, we had our first pop culture convention called FanCon. And it was a really great way to offer the community something that I don't think Kodiak has ever seen before. So we had things like video game tournaments and a costume competition and all kinds of panels. And, of course, a special guest graphic novelist who wrote the book Cody, which is about a bear in Alaska, heavily influenced by Kodiak itself. So that was really great.
Yeah, it was. It was. How many people? Didn't we have 300 people in the library all weekend or more?
It was about 300 people, which was actually incredible because it was the worst blizzard we had.
That's right. The weather was awful.
Brian, what was your cosplay?
Did you have?
Did
one?
You dress up as anything?
Actually, I didn't. you know, it's of another generation, I believe. But I would say on the flip side, KPLA was very supportive. Yes. Of FanCon. It was new to us. And I do believe, did we pay for the author from Pennsylvania?
You arranged? You arranged from Alaska Airlines from Alaska. Provide free airfare.
Exactly. But we have underwritten some travel from visiting book authors, especially those from within Alaska. We've provided prizes at various times. I believe we've done it for the summer reading program.
Yes.
So these are the kinds of things that the library doesn't have in their budget. The budget is created between the library director and the city manager, I think, and it gets approved by the city council. So we're just there to provide what kinds of support which would be useful. Currently going on right now, you know, I'm sure one of our other guests here will talk about the Go See the Bees.
Yes.
Program, and we provide funding for Judy Kidder, who does this Throughout the summer, and I'll turn that back over to Lori.
Well, I did neglect to mention that the community beekeeping project
is very popular
and a part of the summer reading challenge if somebody comes. And Judy Kidder comes every Saturday morning at 10:15, and we ask people to sign up just because of too big of a crowd is tough to manage for her. But I think, what is it, 10 to 12? And then little kids are asked to be inside, but the bees are buzzing away, and it's really interesting to see and learn so much. She's just a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. So, and KPLA has provided for her to do that for the last 2 years.
And KPLA, you also have these, you mentioned the free little libraries.
Yes. The Little Free Libraries is nationally and probably internationally known. And a couple of board members were very interested in starting these like little neighborhood libraries that they're very creative little libraries that are hopefully weatherproofed. You'll find one, a couple of them downtown, one next to Harborside. There's one next to, attached to the Teen Center. Mm-hmm. There's another one at the
KCHC. Where the co-op is in the hallway there.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's about 9 or 10. And what's cool about this is that if you're visiting Kodiak and you're really into books and you want to get a free book and just take it with you, we would appreciate it if you would donate the book that you're carrying with you from wherever. And they're just, you know, pretty small, about the size of a bird cage. It's a way of people, you know, non-intrusively just taking a book of whatever kinds that are in there and checking it out. And those stuff have been memorialized. So now each one of them has a plaque on them and has a numerical ID number. So if someone's visiting or they're planning to visit, they can find out on a Google Maps where these are, especially if they're not familiar with mm-hmm. Kodiak. There's actually one out in Bell's Flats at the little store, I believe.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. So it's been a hit. I think we put out about 9 or 10, and we're gonna have to see how long they last, because you know with Kodiak it's a challenge, and
that's why some of them are indoors. they were the ones that did leaked. But I think their motto is take a book, leave a book, mm-hmm. and people have been pretty good about it.
All right.
Yeah.
And 24-hour a day, so versus the library, which is not open 24/7, 365.
There's one at the ferry dock too. Right?
Yes, it's one of the ferry deck. Yeah. Very good.
We have a few.
All right, so let's just keep talking about books then. So I see, Laura, you might have some summer book recommendations for us, or what's popular right now?
Well, we've been getting a lot of new books, and it's great to see that people are taking them out. And I wanted to share with you one called It Goes So Fast, The Year of No Do-Overs by Mary Louise Kelly, it's an exceptional memoir. She's a journalist with a co-host of NPR's All Things Considered, and she shares engaging stories of the life, what her life was like in her son's senior year in high school, and she's in the middle of this big career. She gets a call. She's in Baghdad getting on a helicopter, and they're saying, hey, your kid's in the emergency room. Can you come? And things like that. She started to realize that she was going to lose her lot being with her child and, you know, his last years of being at home. So she's trying to learn to say no. So it's a series. It's a memoir, and it tells about the tug of war being a parent with doing what she loves while being with the people that she loves. And it's great. It's not thick. It's not too long. But I think people who enjoy thinking about parenting and working and all that tug of war is like might enjoy that book. And that's a nonfiction book. Another nonfiction book that, in other words, is true, that we just got. It's a University of Alaska Press imprint called Cool Plants for Cold Climates, A Garden Designer's Perspective. It's by Brenda Adams. It's a gorgeous book that has beautiful photographs, and it talks about the best plants for cold climates, how to evaluate a plant at the nursery, and where it would fit in your garden. And we've got some great gardeners in this town mm-hmm. and some great nurseries. But it's just lovely. It includes vines and trees and flowers and shrubs, and it's one that if I was to buy it, I'd buy it for my own collection. We've worked really hard, speaking of nonfiction books, to beef up our travel collection.
Okay.
Because people in Kodiak like to travel. Mm-hmm. And we were looking, many of them were 10 and 12 years old. Well, a book about Paraguay from 20 years ago is not going to help you if you go next week. Sure. So we've bought a lot of Lonely Planet and Fromers. Mm-hmm. And I got a new one I really like called Offbeat. It's from Lonely Planet, and it profiles 100 amazing places that are away from the tourist trail from all over the world. So I think it's arranged by continent. So I thought that was worth mentioning. I have two more. One of my favorite books this year and one of the most popular top sellers on the New York Times bestseller list is called Lessons in Chemistry by Barney Garmus. I think that's how you say her name. It's her first novel, and it's flown off the shelf every time it comes in. It's a story of a woman named Elizabeth Zott, who's a scientist in a research institute in the 60s. And she has to move in. She has no place to live. She has to move in with another scientist who works at the facility. In exchange, she cooks for him in exchange for a place to live. And, of course, there's a little bit of a love interest going on there. But she has to fight for basic supplies like beakers to get in her lab so that she can do these chemistry experiments while he's making all, you know, getting all the glory for the funding and funding for the work that he generates, which she helps him with, but she never gets mentioned. But anyway, Calvin's life is cut short. Spoiler alert. But anyway, she turns to cooking, and she loses her job because they ended up falling in love. She has a kid, and she loses her job because she's a single parent in 1960, and they're not going to let her stay in this research facility. So she gets proposed to do a women's cooking show at 4:30 in the afternoon. She's supposed to look good and make a perfect martini. And the producers expect that of her. And she expects to teach women the basics of cooking, which is chemistry. And so she pushes the bounds of how women and their work are perceived. It's a delightful read. I read it in one weekend, and I highly recommend that book. Another fiction book that's not quite so gentle, but those of you that like scary thrillers might enjoy Dennis Lehane's latest called Small Mercies. Some people consider it his best book so far. It's a historical thriller which vividly evokes the racism of the 70s in the south side of Boston with the African-American community at the height of busing and desegregation. A girl's gone missing at the same night a black man is killed on the subway. The girl's mother, who led anti-busing protests, is transformed to find the truth about the disappearance. It's supposedly complex and multidimensional. A tragedy of epic proportions is what the reviewer said. Mm. But if you like a good thriller, Lehane is well known for his. And those are two fiction titles that are on the shelf. And don't forget, we subscribe to a service called Hoopla, as well as the Alaska Digital Library, where you can get books, e-books, to read like on your tablet or your phone. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, on a tablet, or to listen to. We have a lot of online offerings that these books I've mentioned, some of them are available. Mm-hmm. And Hoopla's cool because every patron who has a library card and remembers their PIN can check out seven items a month. So, I got hooked on some PBS series that is long gone, and I wanted to watch it, and I could watch it on Hoopla, at least seven-ish episodes of it. It has television, it has movies, it has books, it has comics, and Hoopla is something for everybody. Everything is available free with your library card. And if you don't know how to get to it, look at our online resources page on the web, or come in and talk to us, and we'll help you find those things. So those are just a lot more. We just got another box of books today, and one of the areas we're looking to increase is our youth geography section because it's really outdated, and try to get some new information for students for the fall, fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Over on the YA and kids book sides, do you have big, new, notable, popular?
Well, one of my favorite books that has been checked out quite regularly has been Ada Twist, the Scientist. And it's a fun, engaging picture book where Ada is a young girl who asks endless questions and explores the world through her scientific inquiry. So it's just a really big fan favorite.
You know, it's really interesting. I've seen more fiction books addressing scientific content more. I just read a book by Yaa Gyasi called Transcendent Kingdom, and it's about a young woman whose brother died from an overdose and whose mother is suffering from severe PTSD and depression. And part of the book is she's a, you know, a chemist in grad school trying to figure out the problem with addiction, you know, by experimenting on mice. And the whole book is this great reflection on religion and science. And it's a really beautiful, beautiful story. And I think I have a minute. There's one book, I don't know, and I forgot to check before we came on air, if the library has this one. I'm in the middle of this book. It's called Community Board by Tara Conklin. And it's about a woman who kind of divorced, so she kind of moves back home to her small town in Massachusetts and then gets involved with her small town community's like social media message boards. And it's supposed to be a good, it's funny, but it's also a heartwarming kind of story. And I can kind of see where it's going about how do we make community when our community on social media can get so toxic. That's a book that I'm in the middle of that I can't wait to see how that one ends. And another one, I'm in the middle of like a dozen books, but another one that I'm in the middle of, which I'm not the target audience, but every now and then I try to find a book for which I'm not the target audience. It's called Your Driver is Waiting by Priya Guns. She's a Sri Lankan author. And it's about a 20-something rideshare driver whose father just died. She's living paycheck to paycheck, and it's a whole thing about late stage capitalism and just trying to survive. And it's like if you're familiar with the movie Taxi Driver, you know, it's kind of like that, but funny. It's a little more satirical and sardonic from a young woman's point of view, whose parents were immigrants. So addresses racism and classism in this gig economy, you know, that we have. And so that was one of the most, it's called one of the most anticipated books of the year by the New York Times. But that one's good, too. And I'm glad we're in that one. We have 1 minute left. 1 minute left. OK, so anything else that you'd like to plug, books or events or...
Oh, this is Brian. I just encourage people, if they're interested in the activities of the Kodiak Public Library Association as a supporter of the library, please join. Our meetings are held quite interestingly at the library.
Not again until September.
That's right. We're off for the summer.
A lot of boards are off for the summer. Thank you so much for joining me, Kate, Brian, Bailey, and Lori. Thanks so much for talking about the library, what's going on this summer. There's a lot going on.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It seems like it's been a while, and I'm glad to introduce my two new staff members. And we're always got something going on.
Yeah. All right.
And just so you know, we open at 10 Monday through Saturday. Monday, Saturday, and Friday we close at 5, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday we're open till 7. That may change in the fall when we are fully staffed, but come out and see us. We're happy to help you with whatever you might need.
All right. Thanks again, and thanks for listening to Talk of the Rock.